honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
Hi, everyone. I'm Andrea Donsky. Lisa Davis is off today. We're going to have some fun on this show because we're talking tea. I'm a huge tea drinker, and I joke around by calling myself a tea snob, but there might be some validity to what I call myself. Cindy Bigelow, third-generation president and CEO of the family-owned Bigelow Tea Company, is joining me to talk about one of my all-time favorite beverages. Welcome to the show, Cindy.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
Me too. So, I joke, but I'm not really joking. I really am a huge tea fan. I'm not a coffee drinker, and every single morning I have tea. I'm a big fan of the decaf tea just for me, and my kids love it. We make tea every single night. We have a little tea party in the family. Tell me a little bit about why tea is so good for us, and just shed some light for me.
Well, tea is a fantastic beverage, and basically, Andrea, you're drinking the brew of a vegetable. And that's why it is so good for you. It's got, you know, the super antioxidants. There's been studies out for over 20 years. I've been lecturing on tea. And whether it's green tea, oolong, or black tea, you know, they all have different antioxidant levels, and they're good for you for different reasons. But they're, you know, basically, you're drinking a vegetable juice.
Which is a really good thing. And, like, I love that you say you're drinking the essence of it. So tell us a little bit about what goes into the process. I mean, obviously not going into any too much detail, but what goes into the process of making tea?
Well, it's very important. First of all, you start with, in our opinion, hand-picked tea. All our teas are hand-picked. They're orthodox, which is a much slower process. So you're really protecting the nuances of this leaf. And then it's how it's processed determines if it's going to be green, black, or oolong. I don't like the word process because people connote all kinds of terrible things. But basically, Andrew, it's just how long it's exposed to air. Green tea is unfermented, not exposed to air, has different antioxidant properties. Black tea is exposed or fermented for about 6 hours, and oolong is somewhere in the middle. And it all comes from the same bush, the Camellia sinensis bush.
Ah, very interesting. Okay, so now talk to us a little bit about the research, to me, about a little bit about the research behind tea.
Well, as I said, I've been reading on it. I'm certainly not a scientist, and I'm very sensitive to that, but I like to share studies when I lecture on it. But the most studies on green tea are in terms of its cancer and its ability to fight cancer. Green tea has about 8 times the amount of EGCG than black tea. So those are all the studies are focusing there. In black tea, they have different flavonoids or antioxidants in them. And they're good for cardiovascular, which, again, heart attacks, strokes, a lot of studies from very reputable hospitals and universities that talk about 1, 2, 3 cups a day and the benefit from a heart-healthy standpoint. So they're actually, you know, I always say you should be drinking all. You should be drinking green tea and black tea every day.
You know, I remember, I mean, from what I read in drinking green tea, I'm a big fan of green tea as well. And when talk about a little bit when it comes to weight loss. I know that the EGCG in the green tea. How many cups a day should we be drinking is what I want to know.
You know, it's funny. There's a lot out on green tea in terms of its ability to help lose weight. And I try to read as much as I can on it and find out exactly what it is in green tea that is so effective. One thing that's important, though, when you talk about the studies of tea, you really do need to drink the cup of tea. The pills that are out there, because they're not in the whole complexity of what the tea brings to you, they do not have the same full effect of a cup of tea because it's how they work together. So, for example, in the case of the tea, there's L-theanine in tea, and that combines with the caffeine to have a completely different experience for you. So, yeah, it's important you're actually drinking that cup of tea. But for weight loss, I can't exactly explain to you why, but what I've read is about 3 cups a day. I did read a study years ago that said also when you drink tea, and this is fascinating to me, you actually eat differently than when you drink coffee, which, by the way, I do have a cup of coffee to start my day, so I'm not a coffee basher. I know. And I said that on air.
No,
but
if
you think about it, when you drink green tea, they say the tendency in this study was to eat a lot lighter and healthier. So there might be an element of that as well, although the books say, you know, 3 cups of green tea a day and you actually will lose weight.
What about for those people who put, this is just a curiosity, I'm curious more than anything, for people who put milk in their tea, I heard that it actually takes away the benefits of it. Is that true?
You know, I've read a lot on that as well, gone back and forth. I would agree with you that I think by putting milk in your tea, it is going to bind with some of the the antioxidants and not be as effective. I have read a few studies that also support that. So put it this way, Andrea. If I have a sore throat and I'm drinking my Earl Grey because of its antiviral, I will not put milk in it.
Okay. So you're using it for a benefit as opposed to just
enjoying your cup of tea. I'm using it for a benefit, I'll drink black tea, which is really great for viruses. No milk.
Got it. I want to understand a little bit. Many years ago, I had a tour of a tea factory, and I remember they were very, you know, they talked to us about the process of the tea. Like, again, not to talk, like you said, the word process, but the way the tea was made. I know. I laughed because I was laughing when you said that because it's so true, but it's still a process, like how it's made in terms of the tea bags and way the tea bags are held together. Tell me a little bit about that, about some companies who've used, I guess, bleached tea bags versus not, glued versus staple. Tell me a little bit about that.
You know, there's so much misunderstanding of that on the internet. People have to be so careful what they read. Basically, for tea bag paper, most all of us use an oxygen bleach. There are no chemicals on the paper. We have that verified from our suppliers. We actually do the testing ourselves, third-party labs we have for over 10 years. But there's three basic tea bag paper manufacturers in the world. We all, teabag companies, no matter what kind of tea it is, are using the same teabag paper. Teabag paper in teabags is extremely safe. Believe me, I wouldn't be drinking it. I wouldn't have my kids drinking it. I drink 5 cups a day of it. So we watch it carefully. It's very, very safe. Oxygen bleached, no chemicals. Even if you read articles that say there are.
Okay, so basically we don't need to be worried by getting any chemicals from the tea versus from the tea bag. Okay. So,
gosh, no.
See, I know that you're a huge organic consumer. Talk to me a little bit about organic versus non-organic tea.
You know, that's another great question. I am a huge organic fan. My milk, my fruits, my vegetables, and my meats are organic. Tea, we do have a lovely organic line for tea, but tea is actually very different, and a lot of people don't understand that. Again, a lot of misinformation out there on the web. Bottom line is, tea is different than, let's say, broccoli and strawberries. If you're eating a non-organic broccoli and strawberry, you can have trace elements of pesticides. Tea is different. Tea actually will not release any heavy metals or any pesticides if they are in the leaf or on the leaf because they are water insoluble. So we test our cups of tea constantly, our organic line and our non-organic line. And for everyone, not just Bigelow, your cup is clean of pesticides and heavy metals. The leaf, filter's not the right word, but the leaf absolutely will not release it because it's they're water insoluble. So
you know,
it's a very clean cup of tea.
It's interesting that you say that because I remember not too long ago there was a company, a big company out there that they were saying, people were saying that there were, I guess, pesticides found on their tea. But it's interesting that you say that it doesn't get brought into the cup for, I guess, lack of a better word.
It does not. It does not. And the other thing I really challenge people out there that are reading, people love to use the word laden with, covered in, you know, laced in, where all of our testing is, first of all, they don't even need to spray tea often because it's a bush. It's not like a strawberry. And it is trace elements if there are pesticides. I'm talking parts per billion, and again, nothing ever in the cup. So I feel bad for some of the tea companies that get these articles written about them. It's not true.
You know, I am guilty of using the word laden with and filled with, but that's a whole other story. Cindy, we are out of time today. It goes by so quickly. Thank you for being on the show today.
Well, listen, enjoy that cup.
Oh, thank you. I will. Thank you. Thank you. I'm Andrea Donsky with This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening and stay well.